Thank you, Sam. That didn't sound too bad for a first time in worship. I'd like to welcome everybody, especially our visitors. We're very glad that you're here to worship with us today. Have a couple of prayer requests before we get started. Need, as Dick mentioned at the beginning, we need to continue to remember our brother Kent as he is recovering in the hospital. He's making small improvements. And also remember LaGaia at this time as she's caring for him and up at the hospital almost nonstop. Have a couple of other prayer requests. We need to remember the Lindo family. Both Asher and Zoe are homesick, and they're requesting prayers for them. Also, Melaine Terry is in Mexico City for a week on a work trip. We need to remember them. And also, most of you remember Raven. She passed away a couple of years ago. One of the last wishes Raven had was to donate some money to South Valley. And as you know, sometimes it takes a while for that to get settled. It finally got settled just recently. And her sister sent a card saying, "Thank you so much. Fulfilling one of Raven's last wishes, she loved this church so much. Everyone meant the world to her. And because of South Valley Church of Christ, Raven was baptized and lives with our Savior always." And she sent a donation to the church this week. That was finally, I guess her estate was settled and so forth. But she loved being our greeter and passing out the bulletins back there. And she took great pride in that. And but anyway, she's one of her last wishes was to donate some money in her passing. Let's go to God in prayer on behalf of these, and then we'll get into our lesson. Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you giving you all glory, all praise, and all honor that you so deserve. Dear God, we thank you for all the blessings that you give us. We ask that you please forgive us for the sins that we commit. Please don't let anything hinder you hearing our prayers. Dear God, we ask that you be with Asher and Zoe while they're sick. We pray that they will get feeling better soon and not have any effects of the illness. Dear God, we ask that you be with Melaine while she is out of town working in Mexico. Please keep her safe and bring her back to Dan safely. Dear God, we're so thankful to have had Raven in our lives. We're thankful for the gift that she left us, not only the money, but of herself and her memory and her example of service and love. Dear God, we also come to you on behalf of Kent and LaGaia. We pray that Kent will, our desire is that Kent will grow stronger each and every day and will eventually be off the ventilator and be able to recover and resume his life of service to you. Dear God, we, as with all of our prayers, we always pray that your will be done. And not only that, that we will be able to yield our will to yours. Dear God, we thank you. We ask that you be with us the rest of this worship to you. And we pray that everything be done in spirit and in truth. We thank you for our visitors. And we hope that they are blessed by being here today. We thank you and we pray everything through your son, Jesus. Amen. Last week we had a lesson, Fishers of Men, about how Jesus wanted the apostles, and he told his apostles that they would from now on catch men, that they will be fishers of men, and they would be. They would go on and be the backbone of the church in the first century, and it's just replicated itself from age to age, that somebody has told us about Jesus. Somebody has shared the gospel with us, and hopefully we will share it with others. Case closed, Jesus wants us to be fishers of men. Jesus wants us to share the gospel with others. I guess the next big question is, how do we do that? We're not the apostles. We don't have the miraculous giftings that they had to wow the crowds, to show the power of God and the power that Jesus had shown others. But he still wants us to be fishers of men. The skills that are needed. The skills needed to be fishers of men are not out of our reach. Some of the skills is knowledge of the word. I don't buy, I just can't learn it. And I've heard that. Oh, I just can't learn the Bible. Unless there's something mentally wrong, yes, you can. There are things in our lives we know all about that we could talk for days on end. Just get us started. We will tell you about our hobbies. We will tell you about our favorite sports teams, the lineup, who's out, who's in, the shooting percentage, the batting average, whatever. Get us talking about guns, right, Kurt? Curtis? You know, get us talking about guns. Get us talking about our favorite vacation. And we'll go nonstop, yippity-yappity, for a long time. It's got to be important to us. If it's important to us, we'll learn it. It takes effort. Knowledge of the Bible is great, but without putting it to use, it's just a well-kept secret. Got to put effort into it. Takes patience. Don't know if you've ever been in a Bible study that the material's laid out so clear, so black and white, and they're just not buying it. They're just not accepting it. Maybe they've got their mind made up ahead of time. Maybe they're fighting old religious traditions of their upbringing. It takes patience and continued teaching. And another skill, don't know if it's a skill, but something that is greatly needed in being fishers of men, is giving God the glory. Very rarely does one person by themselves take somebody and they be the only input in their lives to become a Christian. A lot of times, multiple people have impact on their teaching by an example, something in their life that moves them in that direction. And God gets the glory because he causes the growth. Let's look at some of these. In 2 Timothy 2:15, Paul told Timothy, be diligent to present yourself approved to God. The King James, I use the New King James, the King James says, study to show yourself approved of God. the New King James, be diligent. Be diligent in your study to show yourself approved of God. A worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. That's important. There's a lot of people that cherry pick. There's a lot of religious-minded, religious people that want to maybe share bits and pieces of the Bible, but pick and choose what they want. We need to study and be diligent where we're not ashamed as a worker of God that we can rightly divide the word of truth and present. If we want to be fishers of men, we need to make sure of the right bait. That we're leading them the right direction. In 2 Timothy 4, verse 2, Paul tells Timothy to preach the word. Preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Not just when it's convenient. Because I tell you, a lot of times, somebody with a question comes out of left field at the most a time you'd never think, or a person that you never think was watching ask a question about why you live the way you do, or ask a question about something you said, or they come to you with a religious question. Be ready in season and out of season. And these are the things that we're supposed to do. We're supposed to convince. We have to convince them. Present the preaching of the word in a way that it will convince them. Sometimes, that's a lot easier to do sometimes than rebuking. Sometimes we have to rebuke. Sometimes we need to exhort. And the last part of this verse tells us what we need to have all the time, with all long suffering and teaching. We have to be patient. Not everybody we study with, not everybody that we want to influence picks it up in the same pace as other people do. Well, I taught it to you once. Why can't you get it? Oh, I just can't believe you're not believing this stuff. And then we get upset. We got to have long suffering and teaching with that. Not everybody. Jesus was a pretty good teacher. Not everybody accepted Jesus' teaching. Paul was a pretty good teacher. Not everybody accepted Paul right away. Our bait. We've got to make sure the bait is proper. Our bait in what we're preaching is sound doctrine. If we're presenting anything else to them, that's wrong on our part. Sound doctrine is what gets people. Not flashy words, not gimmicks. I've long said this. We could jam pack this building. We could jam pack a bigger building. Advertise that we're going to pass out $100 bills to people that show up. That show up. Look at how many people came when Jesus was feeding them. To be fishers of men, it's not about gimmicks. It's not the slick talkers. If you came here today for a slick talker, you miss, it's a different building. you miss the boat. Not the razzle dazzle, the miracles. Benny Hinn's good on that one. Missed the wrong show, wrong channel. featuring a celebrity coming in. Who's the guy, Peter Popoff, supernatural debt cancellation? I didn't come up with that. Supernatural debt cancellation. I didn't invent it. I think it's Peter Popoff that did that. That's not being fishers of men. This is slick willies trying to get one over on people. 1 Corinthians, Paul writes to the Christians in Corinth. And in chapter 2, starting in verse 1, he says, "And I, brethren, when I came to you, did not come with excellence of speech or of wisdom, declaring to you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. I was with you in weakness, in fear, and in much trembling. And my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God." That was the Apostle Paul. I do disagree a little bit with Paul. I do think he came with some powerful words. But he was humble. And, you know, I wasn't coming with whiz-bang, razzle-dazzle. I came to you preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. I came to you with a little bit of shaky knees, not knowing how you would accept it. I've been beaten before. Would you do that to me? I've been run out of towns for preaching the word. Would you do that to me? And he found out, no. He was humble. And the message was not him. The message was Jesus. He would say almost the same thing to Titus. Titus 2:1. He tells Titus, "But as for you, speak the things which are proper for sound doctrine." That's what the debate is. And I use that term loosely. That's what we're preaching, sound doctrine. Nothing else. The results when we do that, when we share sound doctrine with others, maybe in a formal Bible study way, maybe inviting them and they hear somebody else, just maybe by our actions that lead to questions. However it is, here's the results of sharing that sound doctrine. In Acts 2, the people on the day of Pentecost, after they heard the Apostle Peter deliver that great gospel sermon, wasn't very complicated, wasn't even very long. It was this Jesus, who you crucified, by the way, he was the Messiah. And in him is eternal life. And it said, "Then those who gladly received his word," implying not all did. Not all did. But those who gladly received his word were baptized. And that day, about 3,000 souls were added to them. They did not join the church. They didn't join. They didn't get a t-shirt. They didn't get a decoder ring. They didn't join. They were added. Verse 47, it's the Lord that added them because of their obedience. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread, and in prayers. And when we do catch men or women, we need to give God the glory. I will give them the benefit of the doubt because I do not know what their hearts are. I have heard, personally, I have heard people say, I've baptized XYZ amount of people. Well, good for you. And I'm glad somebody baptized them. But my guess is a lot more than just you had an influence on their life. And rather than taking credit, and I don't know if they're wanting the credit or just throwing statistics, give God the glory because it comes from Him. In 1 Corinthians 3, verse 6, Paul was addressing this because people were getting caught up in this idea. Paul baptized me. I was baptized by the Apostle Peter. Doesn't really matter who baptizes you. That's not the important thing. It's what you were baptized into. You were baptized into Christ. Paul says, I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. And glory be to God that they were baptized and saved. Jesus told the apostles, you're going to be fishers of men. And they were. He wants more than them to be fishers of men. He wants us to be fishers of men. And we have to. We have to teach our children. We have to teach our neighbors. We have to teach each other. And when we do, we have to use the sound bait, the gospel. Not gimmicks, not sleight of hand, not let's just get them in by activities and then we'll teach. No, we got to teach them the gospel. And when we do, the results are they are added to the church by the Lord. And when they do, we give God the credit. Jesus wants us to be fishers of men. This week, keep your eyes open. There's fish out there that need to hear the gospel. There are people in our house. There are people next door to us. There are people in the cubicle at work next to us that need to hear the gospel. Let's teach them either in word, conduct, action, and teach them to be Christians. If you need to respond to the invitation, again, visitors, we're very glad you came to worship with us. If anybody needs to respond to the invitation through repentance, through prayers, or through baptism, if you're looking for a church home and would like to work and worship with us here at South Valley, whatever your need, please come forward while Sam leads us in the invitation. Let's stand and sing.